The Upshot is presented by Pound Disc Golf, makers of the best bags in the sport. And you know what? They're about to be the makers of the best bags in a variety of other categories. Available now, Rapscallion Bags, a spinoff of Pound. They make beverage carrier containers. I have one here at the house. It's awesome. It holds 6 bottles of wine, 2 big growlers, whatever you want to put in it. It's in a really nice looking case. You can take it to a dinner party. You can take it with you out to the park, wherever you're headed. Check it out, rapscallionbags.com. And keep an eye out for the Fly Pack coming to Pound very soon. A really beautifully put together travel bag. It's in the final stages of development right now. Check everything out at PoundDiscGolf.com.
Welcome to The Upshot, Ulti World Disc Golf's podcast about the latest in the disc golf world. I am publisher Charlie Eisenhood, and joining me, as always, is Josh Mansfield. And Josh, I hear you you made a little foray into a winter tradition, putting league. How was it?
I did. So I lived in Montana last year, and we didn't have a putting league around there, but came down. I knew they did it in my hometown, so I decided I was going to go give it a try. I expected, like, it, so there's a guy who owns a furniture store who's really into disc golf. He houses an infinite discs location in a side room of this furniture store. So really big supporter of disc golf. I expected to have like open rooms with a bunch of putting lanes and, you know, we go putt. No. There are 10 stations that wrap around the store, downstairs, like over boxes, upstairs, downstairs, elevated baskets, tape marks with like 5 different putting like spots for each station. You bring 5 putters and you make 2 loops. So you putt 100 times and then you have a card, you keep track, you get whoever gets the most like 5s. So complete putt sets like earns a bonus. They pay out cash prizes for top 5. It was the real deal. They had the real thing going. And I felt like I did not perform great. That is for sure. I need to get more practice in. But I feel already like doing this weekly is going to make like keep the rust off for next season. So I can't recommend a putting league enough if there's one next to you.
I don't know of one in New York. Well, I mean, which sort of makes sense. Like, who would have space to do that in New York City? But even just in the general area, I'll have to look into it, though. Maybe I can go to New Jersey and get some putts in. But that's awesome. Well, we've got an interesting show today. We got a little bit of news and then we're going to talk a little about the Disc Golf Pro Tour Player of the Year announcements. So those came out over the last 2 days. And so first up, Macy Vela-Diaz has re-signed 1 year with Dynamic Discs. Dynamic Discs posted on their Instagram and said that Macy, you can expect to see Macy at the majority of Elite Series events this upcoming year. Now, that's notable because Vela-Diaz, formerly Walker, was only at 4, 5, 6, right?
Yeah.
Because if we count Throw Pink. And so, you know, but, you know, when she showed up, she was a factor. Her first NT level Elite Series event this year was Jonesboro. She finished 4th. Then she was 3rd at DDO. Didn't fare as well at Ledgestone and Idlewild, but then was 3rd again at the Music City Open and finished inside the top 10 at 7th. At the Throw Pink Women's Disc Golf Championship in Rock Hill. So great re-signing for Dynamic Discs. I thought really she was their best performing player, period, on the entire team in 2021.
Playing only 6 events and performing that well is an amazing accomplishment, in my opinion. And I'm really excited to see. I hope that going on tour full-time and the grind doesn't, you know, diminish that performance at all. I would think that the practice and being able to compete more often would improve it. But and if that's the case, she is going to be a contender, like week in and week out, with the way she performed this season with such a limited series of events. So really exciting for Dynamic Discs and really exciting for the fans that she got a contract big enough to go on tour.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's been a busy off season for Dynamic, and there's plenty of rumors about more to come. So you know, keeping the players around who had a good season is a, you know, sort of the foundation of a good off season for a company, and they've been making the right moves so far, and they've been making a lot of announcements. I think they've had a busier sort of announcement off season than any of the other companies so far. So we'll keep an eye on what comes after that. So now, the Disc Golf Pro Tour Player of the Year Awards, which just to note how these are, how they're sort of decided, the tour points standings from the season are worth 25%. The tour championship finish is worth 25%. So pretty heavily weighted on how you do at that final tournament of the year. 25% goes to a fan vote and 25% goes to a media vote. I had a vote. I will happily tell you what my ballot was. But first, let's talk about who actually won. In MPO, I don't think this is much of a surprise. Ricky Wysocki wins in the, what they're calling it, the Ken Climo Player of the Year Award. So, shouting out a past great. And so Wysocki, who, of course, didn't fare as well at the Tour Championship as he might have liked, does come away with the win. And in FPO, in I think what has to be considered a little bit of an upset, Missy Gannon takes home the Elaine King Player of the Year Award and, of course, had that tremendous finish to the season, winning the Tour Championship, setting the single season earnings record from cash prizes at tournaments, thanks, of course, in large part to the $30,000 paycheck that she got at the Tour Championship. So, Josh, your thoughts. Ricky and Missy as the DGPT announced players of the year.
Like you said, Ricky, no surprise to me. The only blemish is that he didn't perform well at the majors and the Tour Championship, which obviously was a factor. But, you know, Ricky felt like he was the player of the year. It was one that kind of, and it lined up with the statistics, right? We talked about this in a previous show where we really broke down the numbers between Eagle and Paul and Ricky. And Ricky just, I mean, in most categories was pretty dominant. So congratulations to Ricky. Well earned. And it feels nice to see Ricky back in what feels like a more prime Ricky. Because after Lyme disease, he definitely didn't look like himself. And so this was exciting to see this season. Less compelled by the Missy choice, I'm going to be honest. It's, you know, the Pro Tour Championship obviously playing a big factor at the 25% mark and really giving Missy the boost. I have to think the fan vote probably went pretty significantly her way.
Hard to know. We do know that she won the fan vote. The Pro Tour announced that.
Okay, so she wins the fan vote, which I think is largely a result of recency bias. You know, winning the big tournaments at the end. The other thing I will add, and I wanna discuss just a little bit, is the hype. And you mentioned it yourself. Is the single season cash earnings winner. That was a number that was very heavily displayed as publicity for the Pro Tour. And because it's a good number, that's what they want to show for the FPO players is how much money they earned in a single season. And that it's such a significant number. And you mentioned it as well, that it largely comes from the Pro Tour Championship. So I did a little bit of digging because Paige would have set that number otherwise, if not for Missy, at $64,000. So she's about $3,000 behind. If you look at Paige's earnings though, all seven of her wins, including the Disc Golf Match Play Championship, which was a $10,000 prize, totaled $32,900 relative to Missy's one Pro Tour win, Pro Tour Championship right. of $30,000, right? So it's something that I think resonated and really kind of affected the public psyche, seeing her and may have given her a little bit of an inflation to a season that I don't feel like quite earned a player of the year. If you take out the Disc Golf Pro Tour Match Play Championship, it goes down to $22,900, right? That win is heavily inflated. It's heavily inflated for MPO. It's really inflated for FPO, though, where earnings are still 50%, if that, for a winner of what they are in MPO. And so I think that played a big role in the fan vote, probably swayed the media vote to an extent as well. I don't know. It's a weird pick for me.
So, first of all, Missy Gannon had a great season. A great season.
She did.
You can't deny that she had a great season. She, you know, she finishes strong, which really does stick in people's memory, which mm-hmm. I think is proven by the fact that, you know, she won the fan vote. I also think that there's a little voter fatigue. You know, remember when Russell Westbrook won the MVP? I forget. I mean, it was like at a time when LeBron was just continuing to dominate the league and people were tired of voting for LeBron mm-hmm. for MVP. They wanted to vote for somebody new and they voted for Westbrook. And the details are hazy to me, but like Harden was playing really well and like it went to Westbrook, which I feel like in hindsight, you know, it was just like a lot of triple doubles and kind of empty stats in a lot of cases. And like, I think you can see in his game that like, it doesn't really age so well. Now, I have no idea how this award will age, but let me just tell you what my ballot was.
Okay.
And then we can talk about why that was my ballot. I had Missy Gannon in third in player of the year behind Katrina Allen and then Paige Pierce in first place.
Okay.
Let me tell you why I put Paige first. Because I think a lot of people in the comments, I mean, I've seen it both ways. Some people have been like, totally deserved, 100%, awesome, amazing. And other people have been like, this is robbery. This is, you know, this is recency bias. I will admit that I also felt like, wow, what a great season for Missy Gannon. Like, it feels like she had because of the way she finished the season, it felt like she had this big year, and relative to her, she did have a big year. And, you know, she did win two important tournaments. I mean, I thought it was funny the way the Pro Tour framed it in their post. They said she had the highest average finish at the year's biggest events, which they included Worlds and U.S. Women's, which are both majors, and then Throw Pink and the Tour Championship, which are not majors, but I mean, I think as we've discussed, this sort of feels like it. So highest average finish at those events. But if you actually just look at the majors, Paige won U.S. Women's and finished second at Worlds by one shot, basically. And, you know, Missy wasn't really in the conversation for winning that event. So when you actually look at the numbers, though, when you actually just rationally, objectively look at the numbers, I don't think it's possible to really make the case that Missy should have beaten Paige. I think people were tired of voting for Paige. I think people magnify Paige's mistakes. I think people are a little tired of Paige because, you know, I think she comes across as extremely confident to the point that some people feel that maybe she's arrogant. And, you know, they don't like that attitude necessarily. But fundamentally, like, listen to the stats. At DGPT Elite Series events, Paige Pierce finished ahead of Missy Gannon at 11 of 12. 11 of 12. Now, that doesn't include the Tour Championship. Obviously, Missy beat Paige. You know, Paige had that just absolute – was no, it wasn't the Tour Championship. Sorry. At Throw Pink, she had that just complete collapse round three where she was ahead by a large margin in the tournament and then just had her worst round of the year, like 880 or something, 870. Awful, like 20 strokes worse than Missy. And okay, so like had a horrible round, blew up, didn't play that good at the last two tournaments of the year. But again, 11 of 12 head-to-head wins at Elite Series events. One U.S. Women's, one A major, finished second at the World Championships, won five DGPT regular season events. Now, I'm not talking about NTs because this is the DGPT Player of the Year. Beat Missy literally heads up at the Match Play Championships. Finished first in the Disc Golf Pro Tour points. Folks, I know you're tired of picking Paige, but fundamentally, the facts are the facts. And Paige won like six events in a row in the middle of the season, okay? Missy hadn't even won an Elite Series event until she won Des Moines. She did not win an event until Des Moines. Paige won at the beginning, won in the middle, won at the end. Now, not at the very end. The ones that we remember the most, I'm not going to quibble too hard about this. Look, if 25% goes to the Tour Championship right away, you know, that's going to be a feather in Missy's cap in the way that you do the determination. And the fan vote is the fan vote. But, you know, I don't really know that I like a fan vote being a part of a decision about who wins player of the year. I get why they do it, but this is not the All-Stars, right? This is All-Star contest. Fans can vote all they want. But the fans every year pick horrible people to be on the All-Stars and snub people who deserve it. And I mean, I get it. It's entertainment. It's part of the game. It's just sports. But player of the year is a different story to me. And, you know, I don't know how the media vote shook out. They didn't announce that. But it's just Paige Pierce was just objectively the better player in 2021. And I know because of where Paige is expected to finish, there is a sense that if she does not win, that she has failed, that she is falling off, that she is slipping. But that is not the case, right? The reason that the expectations are so high is because she is so good. But I think you still have to look at the actual fundamental facts of the situation and say, okay, wait a minute, 11 of 12. Well, we could say 11 of 13 if we want to include the Tour Championship, which I think is fair. Again, Missy Gannon had a great season. Her being recognized, she already was recognized as most improved, right?
Absolutely deserved, so, too.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, a really strong player and had a great year. And it doesn't feel like it was like totally out of left field because of how strong she finished the season. But I don't love it because I think that it kind of cheapens what a player of the year award should be, which in my mind should be you really sit down and you look at the objective facts. And I will say this. I think there is something to how does it feel, right? You know, what's the feeling that you get about who is the player of the year? And I think it's fair to say that there's more of a vibe that Missy, you know, had this amazing season and Paige had a disappointing season. But so much of that is because of the way that the last like 3 weeks of the season went and not looking at the totality of it. But anyway, I get it. But again, I had Missy in third on my ballot because Katrina Allen won the world championships. Katrina Allen had finished higher in the Disc Golf Pro Tour standings. Like there's a lot of reasons that you actually just have to sit and look at the data. Missy Gannon played great. I think she's going to get the bag in the offseason because she's going to sign on some fat contract. I think that's awesome. But I disagree with the award.
I think the other thing that we have to consider is, and do a little bit more analysis on, is the narratives that kind of followed Paige this year. Because I think you're right that there's always voter fatigue around Paige. There's voter fatigue around who the top player is always. But Paige had some narratives that I think really worked against her in this season. Firstly, Paige comes into the season looking like she's going to break the 1,000 mark for and be the first FPO player to ever do so. She then plays terrible through the Texas swing, and that, you know, falls short of that. There's a lot of media covering that. Then you have her go to Hawaii and take this time off. And even if it turned out to be a really amazing thing for her season, still was very heavily criticized in social media. And it was a narrative that stuck with her, obviously unjustified in my opinion, but still did. And then you have the way that she lost Worlds. James Conrad's shot really kind of came back as a miracle, which is why it was so significant. Katrina Allen was the one who was down, though, at Worlds, throws this amazing shot, and then Paige had to mess up two shots in order for Katrina Allen to take that win in regulation. If Paige makes her layup or makes the green, she wins Worlds. And so the way that Paige loses Worlds, I think, is also a detriment and hurts her because it really did feel like a choke. You then have her skipping national tour events for whatever reason is something that's always pretty controversial in both social media and traditional media and podcasts and news releases. And then you have Paige, when Missy Gannon is getting hot, throwing away her lead with the worst round of her season by far. And so yes, there's fan fatigue around Paige. There always is, and there always will be. But I think this season had a lot of factors working against Paige that were significant enough, not only for her to lose the fan vote, and I don't know the results of the media vote, but you had to imagine that that still weighed heavily on some of the media minds as well.
Yeah, so I think the narrative part of this matters. And when you think about, look back at Paige's season, I think what you just described is exactly why people wanted to vote for Missy. Because when the expectations are at a certain level, there's only so much you can do besides fall short of them, right? Because for Paige Pierce, the expectation is that she will win every event. Now, that's obviously an unfair burden for a player. It's golf. You're not going to win every time. You're going to have a third round at Winthrop where you just hit every tree. So that becomes the thing that people remember and think about from your season. It's the failure to win Worlds. It's not winning U.S. Women's. It's the failure to reach 1,000 rated. It's not winning five events in a row in the most dominant stretch of disc golf of the season from any player. It's not, you know, being clearly the objectively top performing player, whether you look at Pro Tour points or you look at head-to-heads or you look at major championships or whatever you want, there's few metrics where Paige Pierce isn't the obvious clear winner unless you look at the very little chunk at the end of the season. Now, obviously, those tournaments count. They mean a lot. I think clearly it stuck with fans, and Missy, you know, deserves the credit that she's getting for all of the success that she had at the end of the year. But I think if you were to swap Missy and Paige, and you said Missy beat Paige 11 out of 12, you know, DGPT events during the regular season, and she won the match play championship, and she won seven events, and but then she, you know, she bombed at the last two tournaments of the year, and Paige won them, right? Just literally invert their seasons. Missy Gann is still going to win Player of the Year because people are going to be like, wow, well, I mean, I know she had a bad finish, but what a season that she had. Look at all these wins, because the expectations for Missy Gannon are that she finishes fifth, not that she finishes first and wins seven tournaments. And that matters. The expectations game matters. It may not be fair. There's, you know, the cosmic universe doesn't care about the fairness of this, okay? People have the feelings that they have because of the way that they expect things to play out. And when things are surprising, that's what really lights up the brain. This is the human condition. So to that extent, I think it is what it is, you know? Missy Gannon was probably destined to win this award because of the narrative surrounding Paige's season. And, you know, what's funny is that we could probably go back into years that Paige won Players of the Year, and, you know, obviously not this new DGPT created one. There's going to be like three or four Player of the Year awards handed out now. You know, there's like the Ulti World Disc Golf one, the PDGA one, which is like purely objective and based on points, and then the DGPT one, and they might all be different players. That's possible. Think about that, because I'm pretty sure Katrina Allen wrapped up the PDGA Player of the Year award.
And there's a good chance Paige wins Ulti World Player of the Year.
We'll see. It's not a fiat decision by me or anything. So we'll see how the reporting and editing voters decide. We've had three different players.
If they vote for Missy, then we'll know which media were responsible for giving Missy Player of the Year.
I'm going to fire everybody. I think this is just how sports goes. And sometimes being the best player isn't enough. You have to be the best player and capture the zeitgeist with the way that you played the season. You know, I honestly wonder, like, would if Paige had won Worlds, would she win this award? Probably not.
I think that the six times marketing.
Maybe.
Probably get like overcomes, because you also have to remember that she comes off the disappointing finish for Worlds. Everyone's like, oh, don't worry, she's gonna have a great afterwards. And then Kristen Tatar's like, never mind. Like,
well, she also either immediately lost to Missy.
Yeah, loses to Missy.
Her only loss during the regular season to Missy
in a shortened tournament
at Des Moines. So Yeah, no, it's an interesting counterfactual. What would have been if, you know, Page won both the majors and gotten to 6X, but still had the kind of like poor end to the year. Very, very interesting. You know, just as a side, we haven't really talked about it very much, but, you know, Ricky won, deserved it, I think. You know, the knock. See, this is exactly the thing. You could easily make a case for Paul that's similar to the case that I feel like is being made for Missy, which is that, you know, Paul played the best at the biggest tournaments. He did the best at the majors. You know, he wins a major, finishes second at another that he should have won. And, but, you know, Ricky was the better all around player. So, you know, I don't know why. I mean, again, it just comes down to narrative stuff, right? Paul was seen as not playing to his best ability, which, you know, compared to himself is probably true. Mm-hmm. And I think Ricky also on the objective factor wins, but he didn't play his best at the majors. And so you have to take that into consideration when you kind of think about these awards. Like it really wasn't that close. Like it was very clearly Ricky, and then Paul winning USDGC made it interesting. But I don't, at least for me, Ricky won on my ballot. Let me give you my full ballots. You want to hear them?
Yeah, I do.
Because you had to pick five players, so I'll give you my full ballots.
Okay.
Okay, I gotta find the. Here it is. Okay, so MPO, I had Ricky, Paul, Eagle, Adam Hammes, Calvin Heimberg.
That's the exact order. I was like, I'm gonna do my five in my head real quick and see how they match. That's my order for MPO.
Yeah, with Kyle Klein like in the consideration department. Mm-hmm. So then in FPO I had Paige, Katrina, Missy, Haley King, Sarah Hokum.
Okay.
And obviously I'm correct, so everyone can just say that's right. That's how it should have been.
Did Sarah Hokum win an Elite Series this year?
I don't believe so. But the thing about Sarah Hokum, this is exactly the kind of situation, right? Like narrative stuff. Sarah Hokum was a beast this season.
Oh, she was. No, without a
beast.
Doubt. I was just trying to remember if she'd won anything.
Nope, I don't think so. She had a lot of second and third place finishes. I mean, she had a really strong end of the year where from basically Ledgestone forward, she only missed the top three once. She was third at Ledgestone, third at Idlewild, second at Delaware, seventh at MVP, second at GMC, third at the Match Play Championship, second at Music City, third at the Throw Pink, and second at the DGPT Championship. And I mean, that's tough. And people are like, oh, you know, Sarah Hokum, like, you know, she was good once. No. Sarah Hokum is still the top five player in the world. And very, very consistent. Excellent. Another excellent season. I mean, but the lack of wins is a knock.
Yeah.
But like, if you're not going to put Sarah Hokum in the five spot, who are you going to put?
Kristen Tatar.
Yeah, but that's a narrative pick. I mean, she didn't play enough to get that, and she didn't win Euros. Look, if she'd won Euros, I could give it to you. But
look, Charlie, if Missy gets to win Player of the Year on narratives, Kristen Tatar gets fifth on narratives.
I can at least see the case for Missy. If you want to kind of just ignore large stretches of the season, you can make the case for Missy.
Yeah.
That, you know, she had this big outperformance. She won the biggest tournament. She won the most money. You know, the DGPT's like biggest events criteria, highest average finish. I mean, I don't know. It's a little sneaky, but there's a case.
Look, Charlie, I'm just ignoring large stretches of the season for Kristen Tatar as well. Everything.
Let's just blinder ourselves to the 6-week period that she was in the United States.
Worlds to preserve. That's it. She's got it.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week's show. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we're coming at you with our first roundtable episode of this winter time, and it's a great one. We're talking with retailers from across the spectrum. Infinite Discs, OTB, Skybreed Discs, Birdie Disc Golf, and it's an enlightening conversation. You don't want to miss this one. But we're talking business. We're talking growth of the sport. Talking the experience of the supply chain challenges and inflation and, you know, the challenges of just getting plastic to sell and, you know, from companies from gigantic to relatively small. So I hope you tune in. And then we'll be back with a player sponsorship contract episode a week after that. If there's some kind of big breaking news, we'll probably pop in for an emergency pod. So otherwise, we'll see you in the roundtables. Have a very lovely holiday season, everybody. And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled shows to start the year in January. And we'll look forward to talking to you then. So from our families to yours, happy holidays from the Upshot. And we will see you next week.